Ladies and gentlemen, it is officially here. The Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask. It's our new bonus item when you sign up, renew, or upgrade to a yearly EPP membership at ghostpodcast.com.
What does EPP stand for? Extra Podcast Person.
Hurry, supplies are limited of the Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask, a flask with our logo engraved right on it and autographed by us. When you sign up for a yearly EPP membership, you'll not only get a spirit flask, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP bonus episodes, advanced access to regular episodes of the show weeks before they go public, exclusive video content, a fast pass to get your stories to us before everybody else, and so much more.
Plus, you get a month free, too. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Sign up for the yearly EPP membership, get all of that, help keep us on the air, and enjoy your spirit flask. Claim yours now at ghostpodcast.com. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, the show where your real ghost stories are told by you. And we react. 855-853-4802 is the phone number to call in your real ghost story live to Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. Write in on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file to me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And I should make note of this because it's something that, I don't know if everyone is aware of, but if you want to get your ghost stories into us, of course, you can do it right through the website there. It is kind of a queue line because we go through them as we receive them, and it can literally take about up to a year once a story is submitted for me to actually see it and then consider it for the show. But EPP's extra podcast people now have access to what's called a fast pass email, where you can send your story to me directly and get it up for consideration pretty much that week. Then it can get into possible use on an upcoming episode of the show, you know, literally within a month or so of submitting it. Otherwise, it can take literally up to a year to get it into us if you send it through the website. That's another perk of being an EPP at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month for access to that. And in addition to that, of course, you get access to all the EPP bonus episodes, more than 220 of them, advanced episodes of the show, and a free e-copy of our book. So lots of extras there. Immediately on that $5 sign-up, that book's like a $14 value. So you're already coming out ahead by signing up. Get the book for free, get access to the fast pass, get access to the episodes, all that stuff at ghostpodcast.com. Tony and Sean joining you once again, and I think this is the first time we've recorded an episode since post-Halloween, not since you've been on airing, but since it's actually happened. Were you traumatized by any candy corn over the last week?
I rather not talk about it, Tony.
One of those situations?
I will say, though, when we are recording this, that it is within a couple of days of fall back, spring ahead, fall back, daylight savings time. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if it has anything to do with that, but I've been having some very vivid dreams as of late.
Okay.
And ones where you wake up and you think to yourself, either A, did that really happen? Whether you've had a dream where you grabbed lunch with a friend you hadn't seen since high school, or you maybe committed an illegal act in Ohio, you know, those type of dreams. And you then, you know, want to check your criminal background and make sure, good, it was only a dream. Mm-hmm. Or you have random memories from childhood. And for me, actually, when we off air before we started the show here, I sang a little ditty. And it happened to be from, you remember drive-through movie theaters?
Drive-in, yeah. Those. Drive-in movie theaters, yeah.
And before the, or even in between the shows, because sometimes there'd be two movies back-to-back, there'd be an advertisement that would go across the movie screen with, I believe it was a cookie, a bag of popcorn, and a soda pop cup. They had arms, they had legs, they did a little dance, and they sang a song. And that very vividly in my mind. Do you know how that song goes, Tony?
You can sing it. It's Let's Go Out to the Movies or something, or got sort of the snack bar, something of that nature.
Yeah, I'll fast forward to the end. Let's go out to the movie and grab ourselves a snack. Mm-hmm.
I do remember
that. Fantastic. 31 years later, yeah. I want to go get some Raisinets.
Why the fuck would you eat Raisinets? It's just like, it's the most bastardized candy that exists. Like, you don't like candy corn, but you like Raisinets. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Oh, I enjoy community service. I volunteered at the local animal shelter, yeah. The Miracle League here in Arkansas, and you feel bad for candies when they collect inches upon inches of dust on them because nobody's purchased them since 2003. There's enough people that love candy corn that I feel not sorry for it whatsoever, nor do I like it. Raisinets, I mean, they can't help that they're, you know, almost good.
So you view your consumption of Raisinets as almost charitable giving to innocent candy is how you...
I have it on my LinkedIn under volunteer experience, yeah.
I consume Raisinets. It'd be great in the interview. So what sort of things are you involved in? And the you don't even mention the other, like, legitimate community service things you do, but the first thing you jump to is Raisinets.
I purchased a pallet of Raisinets at Costco Wednesday.
And oh yeah, I help kids, but who fucking cares about that?
I eat Raisinets. I also rock babies in the ITU at Arkansas Children's Hospital, but back to the chocolate-covered raisins.
Talk about what really matters, Raisinets. Yeah, there you go. Well, I'm glad we established that. I have a fun Milwaukee drive-in story I'll share in just a moment. It's not ghostly, but it was scary. So we'll get to that in a moment. 85, maybe you can tell me what drive-in theater it was, because I have no idea. It was traumatic. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to our first caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hello. My name is Derek. I live in Cleveland, Ohio, and I wanted to tell you guys my real ghost story. So I have many, but this is the first one I will give you guys. This was years ago. My husband's aunt and uncle go away every year to go on a camping trip, and it's like mainly his side of the family. They just all go out for like a week or so. And they usually, back when we lived in Toledo, 2 hours away, they would ask us to watch their house because they had two Great Danes at the time and they didn't ever take them with them on the trip. So we had two dogs as well, a Spanador, half black lab, half Cocker Spaniel, and then a Jack Russell. So our two kids at the time were probably like 13 and 9. And we lived on one side of town at the time. They lived on the opposite side of town. My husband had to get up the next morning to take our son to the orthodontist, who was on the side of town we actually lived on. So he asked me, said, hey, would you mind staying here, you know, by yourself? I'll take the kids and you can watch the dogs here. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's fine. You know, there's I got two Great Danes and then two other dogs. I felt well protected. I didn't have any issues. And I had stayed in the house before, but not by myself. So they leave. That night, you know, I sleep in the aunt and uncle's bedroom, which is an attic converted to a bedroom, which is important in this because there's just the one stairwell in and out. And, you know, when you go up those attic stairs, you can see the person's torso when they get to the top. So I lay down, I had the dogs all, you know, ready for bed. Our Jack Russell likes to sleep at my feet under the covers. The two Great Danes have beds on the floor. And then our Spanador at the time, she was being cage trained. She was a puppy. So we had her sleep in the cage so she didn't pee on the floor in the middle of the night. So at exactly 5:16 a.m., I awaken to Thor, one of the Great Danes. He gets up, starts barking. And then he goes downstairs. And then Zeus, the other one, the other Great Dane, he gets up, starts barking, and goes downstairs. And I'm like, this is real strange. Like, what's going on? I have all the doors locked. And again, like I said, I wasn't worried. I got big dogs with me. We're good. So then our Jack Russell, he's at my feet. He gets up. He starts barking, jumps off the bed, and goes downstairs. Isabella, in the cage, she gets up and just starts barking in place because she can't go anywhere. So I go to the top of the stairs and I'm looking down and neither of the Great Danes are anywhere near the stairs. They both said, fuck you. they walked away from the stairs. Our Jack Russell's at the bottom of the stairs looking at me like, aren't you going to come down? And I called him and I was like, come on, Jax, come back up. His name was Jax. I was like, come on back up. And he looked at me with like the look of, it was like a scared look. Like, I don't want to be up there with you. And I'm sorry, I'm not listening to you. And he walks away from the stairs. And I was like, maybe there's a squirrel. Maybe somebody was trying to break in, but the dogs deterred them. I don't really know what's going on, but I'm going to go back to sleep. And I go lay back down on the bed. And as soon as I lay down, I hear footsteps starting to come up those stairs. So it was like an old person trying to make their way up the stairs. I hear step, step, shuffle. Step, step, shuffle. And I said, who in the fuck is in this house? So I'm freaking out. And but not like outwardly, just inwardly. I'm just sitting there like watching the stairs, like trying to figure out, am I going to have to attack somebody? So steps keep coming up, you know, all the way up the stairs. Get all the way to the top. I don't see anybody's torso, which I would have seen had they walked all the way up. As soon as the steps get to the top of the stairs and stop, the stepping noises, I should say, the dogs immediately stop barking, come back upstairs and lay down like nothing happened. And I said, okay. So my first thought was, I should gather all my stuff and my dogs, and I'll just go back to my side of town and go to sleep. But then I thought, no, because by the time I do this, it was like 5:16 a.m., probably like 5:20 by the time this is all played out. And I said, okay, no, because by the time I get over there, I'll probably only get another hour of sleep. So I said, nothing showed itself. Nothing harmed you. Just go back to sleep. And I kind of willed myself into this calm, like talked myself out of it, because that was not my first paranormal encounter by that point. So I said, no, you're fine. Just don't look at the mirror behind you or on the headboard by your head and roll over and just go to sleep. So I did. The next morning I got ready, and you know, while I was getting ready, I felt like I was being watched, but nothing happened. Now, the reason I wanted to make this my very first real ghost story I told you guys was because I'm actually headed to that house right now. Unfortunately, my husband's grandmother passed away this past weekend, and we are going to be staying up there with the aunt and uncle, you know, before the funeral services. So I'm headed en route 10 p.m. Eastern Standard right now, headed there to stay in that same house. Now, a little side note too, when they got back, the aunt and uncle, I told them about what happened. And they said, you know, I told them all about the story, and they said, oh, that's funny. Well, they were like, something we never told you guys. There was an old woman who lived in this house, and she died. I believe she died in the house. And they said that's how they got the house so cheap. And I'm like, well, great way to let me fucking know. It's okay now. We had a good laugh about it. So that's my story. I love your show. You guys are amazing. I just recently discovered you guys. I went back to the earliest episodes, and I'm working my way up to the top, to the most current. So keep it going. I absolutely love it. I stopped listening to my Sirius radio, which I pay for this. So it's very interesting. You guys have a wonderful evening.
What do you make of that? I mean, and he's got to go back there right now to try and, you know, go through a difficult time, but he's going to have to be in the house where that other stuff has happened.
Yeah. So listening to that very detailed story, was listening very closely, and then about 35 seconds from the end of they got it so cheap because somebody passed away in the house, mm-hmm. and there you have it. Apparently, she was a lover of dogs.
That's what I would make of it. Would you ever buy a home that that had someone that died in it? Just
not saying
that it's haunted. There's nobody that's saying, oh, God, this is haunted as shit, but just, somebody died here. Are you okay with that?
No, and specifically growing up suburb of Milwaukee, their suburb we grew up in wasn't crazy wealthy, but at the same time it wasn't trashy. It was a nice middle class suburb and a very nice house in the area, prominently known house. There was a woman. It was an isolated incident. Somebody broke in, freaked out, killed her. So it's one of those things, regardless of how nice a house is, regardless of the deal, you know, if somebody lost their life, and in this case, a homicide, no thanks, I'll pass.
That's one of those things where you don't know exactly what could possibly happen. It could be completely benign. Nothing may happen. But the possibility is there. And depending on where you're at, I guess, there's a lot of real estate. Although in some areas you have a lot fewer of options. There's some states where it's very difficult to find a place, and what you find is what you can get. So I wonder, you know, if you're in one of those places, how often you kind of have to settle for something where it's like, yeah, I normally wouldn't take this, but because there's not many options and I need someplace safe and clean, this is what I'm going to take.
Another way to look at it is, do you care less? Do you care more if you know the person that passed away? For example, if you have a house in your family, it is your great-grandparents, and then it becomes your grandparents, and then your grandpa or grandma pass away, you just get married, you got a couple kids, you're kind of trying to have a nice house for them. Maybe you're a little bit more okay if grandpa passed away in the house opposed to some random person getting murdered.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting situation. I don't think I would really have a true answer unless I was put there in that position.
Yeah. No, I agree. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi, you are on the air. So your story.
Hi, Tony. My name is Jennifer Gomez. I am from Corpus Christi, Texas. I just listened to your podcast, and my story is about my house that I'm currently living in. I bought it very cheap. It was vacant for a really long time. And from what I found out, it was because the owner and his wife passed away, and they left it to the daughter. And I thought, this is a really good deal. It's an older house. It's about, you know, and it was made in the 60s. And it's a nice older neighborhood. And it was my first time buying a house. And I thought, well, this is a really good deal. I can't pass it up. Well, as soon as I started fixing up the house and getting it ready, I just kind of felt kind of like a heaviness. And I'm not really into paranormal. I do love your show, by the way, but I was always a skeptic. And I had other people that would go into the house and tell me that they felt like there was some kind of a presence there, or that they were being watched, but I kind of just brushed it off as, just silliness or just them overreacting. But when things started happening, when things really started happening, was I had gone to Mineral Wells, which I'm sure you know is famous for having the Baker Hotel. And there is actually this asylum there that I still to this day don't know what the name of it is. But my fiance and I decided to sneak into this asylum, and we heard that there was an old body sheet there, which was the wrong idea because I am Hispanic and my family is very superstitious. And so if my grandmother had known about this, she would have definitely told me not to do it. But I wanted to be brave for my fiance. And so we snuck in, and as soon as we walked in, it just felt so heavy and like dark, and we started hearing noises, and it was just the creepiest thing. All the doors were open, you know, to the little rooms. There were chairs in the middle of the room. They looked just like an asylum. I couldn't do it. It was too heavy for me. It was too dark and feeling in there. So I kind of bolted out. I ran out, and my fiance, you know, didn't know why. And I told him I just couldn't do it. He stayed in there and he took pictures. And so the pictures he took, you can actually see faces in the pictures, and it almost looks like there's a glare, but there wasn't anything there. Anyways, so, it really affected me, and I was so scared, and I couldn't sleep that night because, his mother, we stayed at his mother's and she lives in the country, but, things didn't really start happening until I got back. Once I got back to my house, which, like I said, already felt heavy, I never saw anything, but once I did get back, I noticed that things started happening. In my restroom, I would take a shower and I'd get done, and later on I'd go back into the restroom and I noticed there were fingerprints on the mirror, and they were so high up and they were long and skinny. And I have two children and they're teenagers, but you know, I'd asked them both if they had been in my restroom, and they said no, but they were skinny fingerprints, bony fingerprints. And it just didn't look like fingerprints of a human. And I just kind of brushed it off and thought, well, maybe, you know, somebody was in my restroom. I wiped the fingerprints off, and it happened again. And it was at this point that, like I said, things started happening in the house. My daughter was in the living room at one point, and I was sitting next to her. And she took a picture on Snapchat of herself, and she kind of just gave me a look. And she looked scared, and I asked her what was wrong. And she said, can you look at this, please? And I looked, and in back of her, clear as day, was a face, and it looked like an old woman's face. And there was no way that it could have been a reflection of anything, because it was just complete. There was a complete empty space there. And I still have the picture. I should send them to you so you can see them. So that was another thing that happened. Well, then I started getting really bad sleep paralysis in my room. And I've always struggled with sleep paralysis, but this was pretty bad. And I wasn't, I'm not the most religious person. I do believe in God, but it had gotten so bad that in the house, this is another situation. My son was by himself in the house. And like I said, we've all felt heaviness, but no one had ever seen anything. And he called me really scared. And this is a 17-year-old boy who's, like, not afraid of anything. And he said he was in the restroom one day, and he was by himself. And he said that he saw an arm, an older man's arm, reach in to grab him. From the side of his eyesight, and then when he turned to the side, it was gone, and he was so freaked out. So it was right then and there that I had decided to consult with my grandmother, because she's very religious, she's very Catholic, and she told me that I needed to bless the house with holy water. Well, I didn't know this at the time, but apparently you can buy holy water that's already pre-made. So, like I said, I am not the most religious person, so I took this holy water, and I sprayed it all over the house, and I said a prayer. Oh, and I also saged the house. And I think that this upset whatever was in the house even more, because it just got worse. I mean, I was having sleep paralysis every single night. I was hearing laughing in my ears, just evil laughing. Well, I had gone back to my grandmother's again and told her that the holy water didn't work. So she gave me a blessed rosary, because I couldn't sleep in my room. It was it seemed like it was all happening in my room. And you know, even my daughter's friends would say they would see shadows walking into my room. And then, you know, then they would see me in the living room or, you know, in the kitchen, and they didn't understand how that happened. But I did get the rosary from my grandmother, and I slept with it. And that very night I had a dream, or sleep paralysis. It was sleep paralysis, I think, because I couldn't move, and I heard an evil voice laughing in my ear saying, you think that rosary is going to help you? It won't help you. Nothing can help you. And it was the scariest thing, and I couldn't move, and I was frozen. And there was another instance where my daughter was so scared. She couldn't sleep in her room. She didn't sleep in her room for a week because I also have pictures of that as well. Sorry, this is kind of a long story. I'm sure you'll edit it if you decide to put it on. But she did see a dark figure in her room, and she saw eyes staring at her. So she couldn't sleep in her room either. So my grandmother finally decided to get actual holy water, blessed from a priest that she actually physically got from the priest, and she gave it to me. And I did it again. I prayed, and I said whatever was in the house needed to leave, and I put holy water everywhere. And after that, it did feel a lot better. The heaviness lifted. I was able to sleep again. It was just really scary. I don't know if I know the people that owned the house before me passed away. I don't know if they passed away in the house. I do know that the house was left to the daughter, like I said, but there was also a lot of furniture left over from when they lived there, and the owners before I bought it said I could have it if I wanted to. And I'm not sure if maybe they were attached to the pieces that were left in the house. But I do know that my house is definitely haunted. Like I said, it's gotten a lot better. It's not as bad as it used to be. we still, you know, hear things every once in a while. My lights still flicker every once in a while. But I think whatever was malevolent, I think in that asylum attached itself to me because it knew how scared I was. And I think that it took itself home with me. And that was the scariest time for me at the house. I think the spirits that do reside there, the husband and wife that owned the house before, I don't think that they are malevolent. They never bothered us before. You know, I would tell them stop if the lights would flicker or I'm not in the mood, and nothing else would happen after that. It wasn't until I went to that asylum in Mineral Wells that really evil things started happening. And luckily, it hasn't been as bad. And my daughter still won't talk about it to this day. She hates when I bring it up. We don't talk about it in the house because we don't want it to come back. It's to the point where I won't even watch anything paranormal in the house anymore because I'm so worried that I'm going to open the door. But like I said, it's not as bad now. So that's what I'm a little bit more religious to a point where, you know, I do pray and I ask God to protect my house. But it's definitely been an experience. And I really hope that you do put this on your show. If not, I really love listening to your show. It's one of my favorite shows. And you're doing a great job and keep up the great work. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'm going to guess, and when we talk about this, you know, was it a possession? Was it I think there's more of an attachment where you go someplace, something happens, something decides to hitch a ride back home. That's really what it sounds like occurred in this situation.
I think it's interesting how she was calm enough to, when they did come about, for her to just not in the mood, go away.
Yeah.
Come. No.
I'm good. Bye. Yeah. I'm glad it cleared up because these things are not always the easiest to clear up when they come about. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. You like the program, keep us on the air, ghostpodcast.com. Get access to the book and all those extras, including a way to submit stories to us for consideration immediately. That fast pass email, you get it when you sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Only $5 a month to support the show and keep it on the air. Okay, so that drive-in story. When I was a kid, I had a friend who I guess... later in life became more of a juvenile delinquent, but at this point in time, we were like 10, wasn't quite there yet. But, you know, not the greatest in terms of families, I guess. You know, I didn't really see much of it, or I mean, I felt uncomfortable around the parents because he was just really, the dad was really loud and demanding and mean, and I didn't ever witness abuse, who knows, you know, but he was an odd character. And I remember one time we went to a drive-in movie and we had to go down to Milwaukee to get there. And I lived about 60 miles north of Milwaukee and went there. I'm assuming we're going to go to the big old blue, what was it, like Starlight or something that was kind of on the north side? The north side one, but that was not the case. We ended up going to one that was like way inner city, south side. So we had to like, and he didn't like take the highway route. He like drove through the inner city, like the scary part at nine.
Lock the doors.
Yeah, 9 o'clock at night. And these are not the most responsible of adults either. So he's like, I got to stop and pee. So he stops at like this real scary, sketchy gas station. 9 o'clock at night, two little kids just sitting in the car, and we're just like, oh my God, it was an excursion just getting there. And we finally got to this damn movie, and
Mighty Ducks.
I took about 2.5 hours, I believe, of all things. It was like a triple feature, which like a credit, to get stuck in this car with these people for three movies, which equals like 6 hours, I don't know, probably 10 with travel. Yeah. And I believe it was The Gambler, Kenny Rogers, and I think Ace Ventura was one of the other movies that was in that mix. I couldn't tell you what the other was. And then when they get there and we get to this movie, and the dad wanted to see The Gambler. I think we as kids wanted to see Ace Ventura. And when it finally gets to The Gambler, which is like the second feature or third feature, the dad falls asleep in the car and everyone else does as well. And I'm the only one who's awake. and they're all snoring profusely. So I'm sitting at this sketchy-ass drive-in. It probably had like 10 screens at it. I want to say there were kind of like a lot of yellow paint around like the outsides of the screen. It wasn't like a fancy drive-in. It was just like basically billboards that they showed movies on. But lots of screens. I just remember it was like really sketchy and scary. And they all fell asleep. And then I had to sit there and I watched The Gambler by myself in the car as they all slept through it. And I had to wake them all up to let them know it was done at like midnight, which we then proceeded to drive through the ghetto again to try and get back north home. And again, it was like, you know, 12:30. I gotta pee. So we stopped at an even sketchier place. No ghosts involved, but holy shit, that was an experience.
You know what? I'm proud of you. You made it. You made it decades later to shout about it. Have you ever gone down memory lane and taken little ones back?
I couldn't tell you where this was. I don't even. Do you know what I mean? What were the other drive-ins in Milwaukee circa 1992?
It's interesting you mentioned the one that you said you thought were going to go to on the north side of town.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm familiar with.
That was a neat one. There was a really, the architecture was really cool on it. And that was torn down like damn near 20 mm-hmm. years ago now. But I always remember seeing that one, and I knew we were getting close to Milwaukee when we were driving down the highway when you saw it. It's like, oh, we're getting close. But in that one, very Art Deco architecture, neat looking building. This other one, I don't know what the hell it was.
That makes two of us, but I'm glad that you made it. And
good times.
You didn't go out to the movies to get yourself a snack.
No.
You just wanted to get yourself home.
I wanted to, if I was going to go to the movies to get myself a snack, I think I'd have to be packing to really feel safe. Be like Carl on The Walking Dead. I'd have to have a gun or something. So, yeah. Anyway, 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's do one more call. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Tony and gang. This is Jose out of Wichita. Calling in with two quick stories today. First one is an update to something I had called to and was aired a few months back. The story about the duende, or the little elf creature that my sister has in her house. So sometime last week, my sister calls me and she's complaining that she didn't get any sleep, that they were up until like probably 4 in the morning, and I asked her, I'm like, what was the deal? Why couldn't you sleep? Was it insomnia? So she tells me that sometime in the middle of the night, she doesn't remember the exact time, but I think it was fairly early in the evening after they had gone to bed, the three of them are asleep, my sister, her boyfriend, and my niece, and all three of them sleep in the same bedroom. My niece isn't old enough, or at least my sister is not comfortable enough putting her in her own bedroom just yet, but she has her little bed in their bedroom. So anyways, three of them are in bed, and it sounds like they hear doors opening and closing in the house. So of course, my sister's like, somebody's in the house, go out and check. He goes out and check, takes the dog with him, and 5 minutes later, he like darts back into the room, gets my niece from her little bed, brings him into hers, and he's like, all three of us are sleeping in the same bed. He's like, there's something out there, there's something out there. And my sister's like, well, what is it? He's like, I don't know. It's like this small little thing. He's like, it's hunchback, and it's kind of furry. He's like, I don't know if it was wearing a coat or if it's furry. He's like, but it ran. And he was like rambling incoherently about it. And obviously, whatever this thing was had freaked him out. So I gave her the suggestion of trying to set up a trail cam, see if maybe they can catch this thing and take a picture of it. But anyways, so the little elf or duende is still roaming around her house. And so then this comes to my second story. So about a month ago, I was at the Scottish Rite building, which, Tony, I know you and most of your co-hosts are familiar with Wichita. So, you know, the Scottish Rite building here in downtown Wichita is incredibly old. Was built in like sometime in the 1800s, and has been added on in subsequent years. But for the most part, the building is incredibly old. and it's been known to have, paranormal activity. They've done ghost hunts in the building. And, from my understanding, that anytime there's a ghost hunt in there, it's definitely definitely an interesting one, a very active one. So I'm calling because I was in there. It was a Monday night, and I was there for my regularly stated lodge meeting. So My lodge, Miami Masonic Lodge, meets in that building. That's where our home base is. And so I'm in there, and it was my duty to be outside for a portion of the meeting. So I'm sitting outside all by myself. And the weird part about the part of the building where our lodge room is, that all the lights are controlled by motion sensors. So they do it as an energy-saving feature, so if anybody walks into a room, the light will automatically come on, or if nobody's in there or moving, then the lights will turn off automatically. So I'm sitting in this kind of like this room before our, the small little entry room right before our, in front of the lodge room door, and there's a room off to my right that is covered in red curtains. It's kind of like a little red room off the main staircase. And all of a sudden, boom, light goes on. No movement. Nobody's out there. There's no cleaning crew. We're the only ones in the building at this time. And normally, when we have our lodge meeting, sometimes there will be groups that are theater groups or musicians that are practicing or using the theater in the building. But at this time, there was nobody else in the building but us. obviously, I get up and I look. Nothing in the room, but light was on, so goes off again. A few minutes later, boom, light goes on again. And then the second time around, I just asked, like, who's there? Is somebody there? Nothing, lights go off, but then the lights didn't go off, but I could feel when somebody's staring at you intently and just focusing on you, I kept on feeling like I was being watched, and it was the most uncomfortable feeling ever. So right before things were finishing up and I was about to go back into the lodge room, I get up and I'm kind of standing right in front of like the darkened doorway of that little red room, and I swear, out of the corner of my eye, I see what looks like a small orb that just kind of is misty, smoky, and boom, in a flash, it's gone. But it was like the craziest thing ever, just to see, like, it almost looked like something was trying to manifest itself, but it didn't, or it only allowed me to see that portion. But anyways, so that's kind of my little experience in the Scottish Rite building. I'm hoping it's not my last, because that was kind of interesting. It was kind of scary, but thank you guys for the show. It is a great avenue for people like us to just kind of share this. So thank you, thank you, thank you, and have a wonderful day, and have a happy Halloween, because I'm recording this right before, 2 days before Halloween.
I know what building he's talking about. I've never been in it. But it does, if you were to walk by a building and go, I wonder if that's haunted, your gut would be saying, yeah, probably. It just has that.
A few calls that we've heard today, the son who out of the corner of his eye, peripheral vision, saw the old man or what have you, and then in this case, kind of saw. Do you ever see something out of the corner of your eye and it's just your eye, almost a sty in your eye is incorrect verbiage, but sometimes it almost looks like little spiders where you see you flashes and it's really just your eye. And I don't know if there is any merit to that, where you're not seeing something and your mind is not playing tricks on you, but sometimes you just see random floaters, or if there's a proper terminology that I am not correctly coming up with, but I'm wondering if there is anything to that, and it has nothing to do with any visitors.
You know, I think that's a possibility. I think I have what you're talking about typically if it's like big light adjustments. I'm going from light to dark or dark to light, and then I will have issues like that. But I've never really had that just in like normal, I'm just going about my day, everyday vision. There's nothing, you know, to protrude the light or anything like that.
Okay.
But it can happen. I know it can happen to folks. So I would think, you know, sometimes it's like somewhat a regular thing. So I think if that's happening, a lot of times you'd be like, well, that's never happened before. If maybe it's your first time having that experience of many, but your first time having it, I could see very easily thinking there's something else going on around you.
in the situation of this caller,
yeah,
a haunted building that there have been several stories, several where it's more than just you, and it's not the first time. First time for him, but now you obviously having lived in Wichita, is that something that you came across a specific story or memory that you remember seeing in that building?
I've never been there, but having been there for many years in that city, you talk about ghosts or anything, and that's one of like probably the top 10 buildings that someone will tell you. Have you heard of the Scottish Rite building? I have. I couldn't tell you anything specific, but I've heard a lot of people say they've heard of the Scottish Rite building involved with ghosts. So, there's stuff going on there.
Does it have, for folks like me that have not even seen the building, mm-hmm. let alone be in it, does it have some of those buildings that they're over 100 years old, mm-hmm. they're usually in downtowns, where they almost have gargoyle-looking statues on the outside of them, just the architecture and the decor?
From what I remember, because it's been a while since I've seen it, I couldn't tell you if there's specifically gargoyles on it, but it has that rock, gothic-type feel to it from what I remember. Maybe there are, things like that in there. I really don't remember specifically, but if I'm in my mind, I'm picturing this kind of stone gothic-esque type castle feeling structure from my memory, which is, but as accurate as nothing.
I kind of think about I believe it's Ghostbusters 2 when the ghost takes the baby from, is it Sigourney Weaver on the roof?
Yep.
That's what I'm pondering. That's what I'm envisioning that building in Wichita looks like. It probably has no looking whatsoever.
Not
that's
quite.
What I'm gonna go with.
I don't think I'd go with that, but it's I'd say more like an IHOP. No, I'm kidding. No, a haunted IHOP of the A-frame era with the big blue roof. Mixed with a Kohl's grocery store. No, I'm kidding. So like four people got that reference, but. That's about it. But creepy looking building nonetheless. That wraps up the program for today. If you liked the show, like I said earlier, keep us on the air. Become an EPP, Extra Podcast Person. You get access to all of our bonus episodes, a copy, e-copy of our book. It's like a $14 value. You get that right away for free for the $5 a month membership. You get access to sending your stories in way before everybody else. Exclusive email there, advanced episodes, lots of extras for $5 to keep us on the air. Ghostpodcast.com. Please consider it or do it as a gift for someone who likes ghosts. Talk about a unique gift for the holidays. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.